I can't count how many stages I've stood on at churches, but it's been many. From Fort Myers Beach, Florida, to Seattle, Washington, from San Diego to Baltimore. Ever since I fell head over heels in love with Jesus, I've been preaching one message and only one message, and that is that Jesus loves you. And yet, I have found something both deeply astonishing as much as it is deeply disturbing. Time after time, when I ask churchgoers, do they all know that God loves them, they simply smile, if not practically rolling their eyes, and give a polite yes, if not an outright, of course I do. Even right now, you might be like them and you'd say, yes, I know that God loves me. Well, let's say you and I are on a road trip together and we pass by the Grand Canyon. We take a tourist pit stop, get out, and stand over that marvelous hole in the ground. A hole so deep that we can't see with our eyes just how deep it goes. And I casually turn to you and I ask very simply, friend, do you know that hole in the ground that is the Grand Canyon is deep? Do you know that it is deep? And you might do just what any of those other churchgoers have done to me. You might roll your eyes, scoff, look at me and say, duh, David, I'm standing right here. I'm looking at the hole in the ground. Of course I know that the Grand Canyon is deep. I look at you square in the eye and say, do you? Do you really? Well, I wonder if you might have a different perspective if I do this. Do what, you ask, and then I push you in. And as you fall deeply into the abyss of the depths of the Grand Canyon, you might just have a different perspective on the depth of that Grand Canyon. So I ask you again, friend, do you know that God loves you? Welcome to Season 1, Episode 5 of the Ragamuffin Preacher Podcast. I'm David Leo Schultz, and I'm head over heels in love with Christ because I have come to experience that He is in head over heels in love with me. And I want the whole world to know the same. Yes, even you, the one listening to this podcast. As we get started today, I just want to begin with a little bit of real time, real life reflection. And this is something that I may do often because one of the things that I've realized is I can't just start preaching a sermon because I'm still me. And what I mean by that is I'm not always on spiritual mountaintops. I'm not always going to be in the ecstasy of God's love. Real life happens. And so so what I thought that what might be good to do is, while the truth of God's gospel never changed, while the truth of God's love never changes, we often do as people. Experiences change us, life changes us, real life sin, real life problems, real life struggles happen to us. And so I thought, so I don't ever or at least I tend to try not to come off as disingenuous, I thought one of the helpful and maybe even healthy things for me to do is start each time with just a little bit of life reflection. If nothing else, it could be a time, you can skip ahead right to the sermon if you want to, but it might be good so you know that you're not alone. Maybe there is some relating that can happen between you and I, and just... if nothing else, maybe it will be humorous, or maybe it'll be something that you can learn from. So here's we go. Here is some ragamuffin reflecting, if you will, just of my own life. I'll be honest. I as I begin today, I've got mixed emotions. Going into this day after Easter sermon, without going on and on about it, there has been a reoccurring pattern in my life these last few weeks in almost every area of my life, whether it be the content that I'm making at ragamuffintv.com, the blogs I write on the ragamuffinpreacher.com, my comedy and my acting voice in Hollywood, and even my sermons here on this podcast. The reoccurring pattern that I feel is this constant tug of war going on, both within myself and even also just with my friends, supporters, listeners, and audience members writing me, conversations with me. This tug of war and recurring pattern, both on the outside and on the inside of myself, it comes down to, frankly, my personality, my persona, my identity, who I am. And what I'm finding is that different people want me to be different things. I find out for some, I'm too gratuitous, and for others, I'm not gratuitous enough, right? Another way to put it is I'm too conservative of a Christian for others, and I'm not edgy enough for others. For others, I'm too meek, and others, I'm too bold. I'm too crass for some and not enough for others. I cuss too much or cuss too little. I'm too much me or not enough me. And this merry-go-round of confusion does even hit the surface of the problem. Then you add to it a chemistry of confusion with my addiction to people-pleasing, to crushed dreams, to surviving failures, soiled reputations, ruined resumes, and the problems of clarity of just who I am just and who I'm supposed to be just gets worse. I guess what I'm trying to say is everyone, it seems, has an opinion of what I should do, who I should be, what I should pursue. And these are the moments that I need to listen to the truth in my own sermons. Truth that I didn't invent, but truth that with its help is reinventing me. A truth that challenges me to realize I don't need to be anyone but myself. Because that's the David that is deeply loved by God. That is the one who was desperate to drink from the well of God's love and eat the bread of the truth self that he offers me, hidden within his own self. The realization and comfort isn't just a message of acceptance, but it's definitely a gauntlet of a challenge. You know, to not put on false selves or hide behind masks of fear, bravado, or anger. I don't really even know why I'm bringing this up today, for no other reason than I think I just need to get off my chest. Maybe it's just so I could ask you to pray for me. And as you do, if you are willing to pray for me, know that this podcast will continue to be in flux, because this podcast will no doubt be a reflection of just who I am, a work in progress. So on that note, the only thing I know to do in all of these areas of my life is just be who I am and be honest about where I'm at. I've just got no other choice. Well, that's not true. I do have the other choice, to be more calculated about it, to be more polished about it. But frankly, folks, it's just I might. I'm just at where I'm at, and I am who I am. And not that I want to stay there. Not that there's not unhealthy things and things I want to get better about. And honestly, just things that I'm trying to figure out. But there's nothing I can do right now at 10:57 a.m. on a Monday morning after Easter except just be honest and be transparent and just be me. And I just really have no interest in anything else, even if it be unwise. So I feel like I'm not alone. And really, with all of the work that I do, that's kind of one of my main things is I am myself, or doing the best to be myself to encourage others that they can be too, because their most honest and true self is the one that God loves desperately and furiously. So on that note, if any of you have questions about faith, stories about experiencing God's love, testimonies in general about God's love, but especially if you have testimonies about how the movies I've made or some of the work I've done, including this podcast and blogs, if they've encouraged you in your own story, do me a favor, please email me at david@colorgreenfilms.com. I would love to hear them and potentially share them with this audience. I'm not promising to do that, but I think I'm going to start making that a regular piece of the podcast. So help develop this podcast with me, and I invite you to be a part of it by emailing me stories of God's love, whether it be through some of the work that I've done through the movies in the podcast or the blog, or just in your own life. Or if you have questions, I even thought about one of the things I may start doing is once in a while having one of you on, one of the listeners on who maybe is struggling or going through something or has some questions, and we can kind of end with the podcast with just a metaphorical coffee shop conversation of us just talking about life, God's love, and faith. Okay. So send me an email. If it's easier for you to call, you can leave me a Google Voice message at 714-758-5241, and I'll put this email and phone number in the show notes. On ragamuffintv.com, which we have apps available on Roku, iOS, Android, Apple Smart TV, and eventually more, we have our movies that you can watch, Ragamuffin, Brennan, the full-length feature documentary, Rich Mullins of Ragamuffin's Legacy, a modern-day six-part miniseries called The Lost Son on The Prodigal Son, a modern-day tale. We also have dozens and dozens of sermons, devotionals, and other original content, including some original music and concerts by Mitch McVicker, Jeremy Dunlap, and more. So check that out. I want to give a special shout out to Sam Stewart Jr., who is an amazing composer who does our intro music, and he's cutting some original cues for us right now. So he has a company, deadsound.co. Check him out. He's amazing. And some of the other music that you've heard in past episodes and throughout is from Jonathan Mullins. He is awesome. So thank you, Jonathan, for creating some great cues for us. So let's just go ahead and jump in. Let's begin with some prayer. Dear Heavenly Daddy, we are who we are. We're at where we're at. There's no sense pretending otherwise. God, thank you for coming in and entering into this world and living and dying for us, to show us, to demonstrate your love for us. God, I don't know where our listeners are at, but you do. God, use whatever you want for this podcast to reach into them, to draw them closer to you, and let them forget the rest. God, change our lives. Let us know that you rose from the grave, and now it's our turn. We can rise too. Change our lives. Draw us deeper into you. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 5:8 says this: but God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mentioned earlier in the reflections that I had some mixed emotions. A part of why was a portion of a Good Friday sermon I read this past week from a prominent pastor. I won't say their name, but they fall into a camp that loves to preach on total depravity, God's wrath, and how you're a big piece of crap. Honestly, at first when I read this, I was fuming, metaphorically pacing back and forth. This type of rhetoric makes me want to fight. Hate has a way of doing that. I want to debate, yell, scream, throw things. But the biggest emotion that I felt haunting me was sadness. You see, as I read this sermon, the whole time I was looking down at my almost 2-year-old named Penny with tears in my eyes. As I was reading this and looking at her, I think you would understand why I was crying. Matter of fact, let me read you a portion of it. "You're not a good person," the pastor said. "The world is not better off with you," the pastor said. "You don't have a good heart. The biggest enemy in your life is you. The biggest problem you have is you." Let me just say this. Don't listen to this shit. This is hateful rhetoric from a hateful man who obviously doesn't have a clue about grace. Is that a wee bit judgmental? Sure. Look, I shouldn't pick a fight with this man. I should pray for him. I honestly wonder if he wrote this sermon looking into a mirror. He has not yet to come to experience the delight of the one who is delight. He has not come to simply savor yet the unconditional love of God, who demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, my friends, if you miss Romans 5:8, you missed Easter. I'm afraid you can't escape the subject of wrath when it does come to love. And to pretend that God doesn't have wrath would be nothing more than to theologically reduce God's love to some type of hippie love that turns a blind eye to anything negative. Okay? I mean, if any of you are a parent, a mother or a father, and you have kids and you actually have one shred of delight for them, you'll know what I mean. Because if somebody messes with your kids, what happens? You get angry. And not all anger is unrighteous. Some of it is downright even wrathful. But where is that born from? It isn't born from ignorance to desire for your kids. It isn't born out of a fair weatheredness. It's born out of your undying compassion for your kids. For the type of love and compassion that makes you go, you mess with my kid, you're going to mess with me, right? There is a sense of wrath that is born out of love. To quote Rich Mullins, there's still a problem here. Many of these preachers aren't bad people. They're just wrong. Although some of them may also be bad. But there is more than good news for them. There is great news for them. And it's called the love of God. See, the problem is the gospel shouts that this isn't the truest identity. And yet the way that some of these preachers who love these subjects talk is, it's very much who they are. But if you read Genesis, when he created man, he had something different to say. And that is, he created man and said, this is good, not bad. See, there is wrath because there is love. If there was no wrath of God, then there would also be no love of God. The problem with these preachers and their theology is that they misunderstand the heart of God. I don't know, but it seems that the way they preach God, if not in truth, then at least in tone, is this. God is wrath, but if you dance to his tune, then you will get to his love and you will get to experience his love. Instead of the gospel, which shouts this, God is love, and out of his love comes a wrath for all that would get in the way of his love for you. To quote Richard Rohr, the idea that God is a wrathful, bloodthirsty God who had to kill his own son as a payment for your evil deeds to satisfy his own wrath is a bankrupt theology. Or better yet, let's quote Hosea 6:6, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." So why would we have a God who says, I don't require sacrifice, and yet needs sacrifice? See, the cross of Christ was, in my opinion, not about a payment process, but a demonstration of his love for you. To quote the story of the prodigal son, while you were still a long way off, the father was, filled with compassion, and he runs to you. Yes, you, even the one listening to this. He's shouting to you today, my friends. I run to you, ragamuffin. I am filled with absurd love, grace, and compassion for you. I created the cosmos and you, and no matter how far you are, I will run to you. And I did. I love you so much. I had you in mind, side by side with the idea of the incarnation. I came to live with you, to suffer with you, and to show you what I saw my Father doing, which was a life giving away, a way to love your enemies, a way to forgive 77 times 7, a way to bless those who curse you, a way to turn the other cheek, a way to burn with love versus burn with hate. If you, like I'm sure many of you are, still need this atonement theory to satisfy your understanding of Easter, then I think God is humble enough to let your fantasy be satisfied with his factual quote from the cross when Jesus yelled, "It is finished." You see, my friends, if your atonement theory is correct, then Jesus doesn't save. Jesus saved. Nothing else needs to be settled. No earning, no striving, no working, no self-satisfying, nothing. It was all taken care of. But I wonder if what God came to atone for was not your sin, but your blindness. Since the Garden of Eden, we have thought we were alone, and God came to show you differently. He came into this world to show you that you were never alone, and you never were, and you never will be. Many of you are worried about hell, yet you continue to live there as we speak. You continue to live a life of death and blindness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place where hate reigns, not love, a place where you let the decaying zombies of your bitterness, addictions, fear, resentment, idols, and insecurities walk around with their stench of death, bringing you nothing but what many of your lives are, a living nightmare. Day after day, you wake up with an anxious worry that you won't be enough, that you won't find what you know deep down in your soul is really looking for, and that is God himself. You see, the only way we get the resurrected Christ is that the incarnated Christ had to die. And the only way you are ever going to be the resurrected Katie, the resurrected Ben, the resurrected David, the resurrected Amy, is if we play follow the leader and follow Jesus to the cross and let our old selves be killed, which in effect is saying, I'll let you take and kill the things of me that don't really matter. I'll let you take the things from me that don't bring life. The things in me that aren't bringing me life, but only death, which is my flesh. My friends, what is bringing you death today? The title of this sermon is really all I needed to say. Jesus rose from the grave, now it's your turn. I once heard a pastor say, pay attention to what stirs your affections for Christ. Well, I say, pay attention to what is dragging your true self into the grave. My friends, don't listen to that hateful pastor with his hateful message. He just doesn't know yet that while he was still a sinner, far away from God, when God looks at him, he is filled with compassion and runs to him. Do you know that today? Let the loving wrath of God swallow up and take to the grave everything in you that doesn't belong. For unless the loving wrath of God destroys, kills, and murders all in you that is contributing to your addictive unawareness in you, you will continue day by day to just get through it. You will be like the countless others who, when asked how their day is going, will just simply say, just another day. My friends, when it comes to the life that God had for you, he had more in mind. See, God doesn't want you to just survive. He wants you to really live. He wants you to live the life of your dreams. But many of you settle for the dreams of your head instead of the dreams for your heart. The deepest dreams of your heart. If you would open the closet, sift through the rubble, you would find a locked treasure box there. Locked by your blindness and your crap, not by Him. But with the cross, He has knocked off that lock. God made the impossible possible. He rose from the grave to show you that you can too. You no longer have to live in the dark. You no longer have to walk around blind. You see, the call to repentance isn't a threat. It's an invitation. It's a bright, flashing neon sign that says, "This way to new life," or rather, "This way to life." My friends, the temptation upon hearing this will be to just go about your normal lives, back to dishonest conversations, back to mask wearing, back to going to the things that don't give you life but rob you of it. Just stop. Stop right now. Listen to me. The still small voice inside of you that is shouting from the rooftops. Be free. Come to me and be free. Come to me, my child, and be free. My friends, Christ is the way to freedom. Christ is freedom. But first, you must let all your shit die. What shit? Pause, be still, and you will know. It's coming to mind even now. Let it go, my friends. Walk away from it and into the arms of your loving God. Take your shit, dig a hole, and bury it with Christ. This is the good news of Jesus. You no longer have to live like a walking zombie. Bury your shit in a grave, then walk out a free man, a free woman who is now really alive. God does not hate you. He didn't die for people He hated. He died for people He loved. So don't listen to that horse shit. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't hate you. He didn't die for people He hated. He died for people He loved. The only thing He hates is all the shit that stands in the way between you and Him. But He doesn't hate you for it, as others would have you believe. And He took all of the evil of the world, past, present, and future, to the grave with Him. So my friends, you are forgiven. You are free. You are alive in Christ. You are accepted. You are unconditionally loved. And from now and even unto eternity, God is going to continue chasing after you with His love, so you can continue to live in hell now and even after death. But once you taste and experience His love, why would you want to? You no longer have to be living how so many other people are living. You can be free. Why don't you make today the day that you come out of the coffin that is your life and do a cartwheel, dance, be silly, laugh, tell a fart joke. Why? Because you are more loved than you will ever know. I'd like to read from Colossians 3 to end our time together today. So, I'm going to take a drink of some Diet Coke. cancer in a can. And I am going to try to flip through my scriptures here and find it. Colossians 3. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. My friends, your true life today is Christ. So when you die, when you let yourself die, what's left? Him. I said it before in lots of different ways, but my friends, everything you're looking for is God Himself. Do you get that? I always had this simple little joke about, what's that verse, Luke 9:23, where Christ says, if you really want to come after me, you have to take up your cross daily and follow me. Or deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. And not a great joke, but I just would say, well, it sounds like God is saying, follow me, just leave yourself behind. But yeah, I think so. Because I think the reason a lot of you guys are despondent, depressed, riddled with anxiety, your life is filled with just trying to get by, to be okay, and that's why you're not going to give up your idols of trying to seek accomplishments or having your best life now and all that crap, is because you won't let Jesus be enough. But Jesus is all you need. Why? Because Jesus is what you're seeking. It's what you're unconsciously seeking by seeking all the other substitutes. You see, you were made for him. You were made to be plugged into him. My friends, Christ died to show you the way. The only way you're really going to start tapping into experiencing your best life now is when you let all of your life die and stay in that grave and let Christ be your life. Because he is. See, it's all going to be okay. As Brennan Manning once said, salvation is merely accepting the fact that you're accepted. My friends, God doesn't hate you. He never did. And he never will. Why? Because you're his. You're his kid. Let's try some contemplative prayer. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Bow your heads, close your eyes, or keep them open, especially if you're driving, but turn down the music, put the podcast on pause, and just listen to this truth. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So you want to find the life that you're looking for. Look nowhere else than Christ. That's your life. He came to bring you life. He came to show you where life is. It's in God and God alone. So quiet down your soul. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that he loves you. Because God is love. Be still, even now. See him there. See yourself there. Just sit in his lap. Right now. You see him. Just jump in his lap. And now that you're in his lap, put this podcast on pause. For reals this time. and just spend 5 seconds with them, 15, a minute. A true minute in solitude is better than a million minutes anywhere else. And once you're done spending a little time with Abba, I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to our episode today. My friends, if one of my movies has impacted you, Ragamuffin Brennan, if one of these sermons has impacted you, the blogs, would you consider throwing me a few bucks on Patreon? Because my dream is to be able to quit my full-time job doing Uber and Lyft so I can go full-time with movies and ministry. Patreon.com/DavidLeoSchultz for a few bucks. And in return, you will get access to a whole different podcast that you can't hear anywhere else and lots of other perks, like a free subscription to Ragamuffin TV. Pray for me, and I will see you next week on the Ragamuffin Preacher podcast.